jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, today for the wrap, we're recapping the week's news with a couple of friends, a couple of recidivists here. So we got Walker Wilson, who is the executive director for the Downtown Improvement Board, as you sometimes heard it referred to colloquially as the DIB.
That's it.
Nobody calls
here.
It the DIB.
Happy Friday.
I think I'm going to start a thing. Let's call it the DIB.
Hey,
yeah, let's call it. You work at the DIB.
It's that guy from the DIB.
It sounds more like hip than, you know, it seems like an Urban Dictionary kind of thing than to say the DIB. I don't. How did it come to be the DIB instead of the DIB?
I don't know. That's okay. Just.
All right.
You know,
I'm going to make it happen.
Along the way.
If we're going to call it the Chappie, we're going to call it the DIB. Ed.
Ed kind of close to DIP, though. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, but that's good now. Oh, okay. I'm gonna sound so 52 right now. My boys were telling me the other day that drip is a good thing. If you're dripped up, means you dress well.
You got some drip, yeah.
You know this. Oh, you're young enough to know. Okay, all right. I'm not.
It's something different when you're a little bit older. Yeah, it's like, I don't want that. Yeah.
So would you say he's got the drip? Was that not?
Yeah, he's got the drip.
No, that's not the way you say that? Okay, all right, confusing. Ed Carson.
Where am I?
Is one of Where am I? Ed Carson with Carson Lovell and just, you know, good friend who's kind of involved in all kinds of things, and that's why I was like to have him on. Let's just start with this. My goodness. I don't know to what degree you've each been following the drama over the Milton City manager. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot to say, but I've gone over it twice today, and I always think like twice in a four-hour period of extensive treatment is kind of enough. But my short version is my understanding of all of the pieces now, as I think I do have it, is this could have been completely avoided. But because we have such a toxic distrust, everybody's on tilt all the time, that even ordinary misunderstandings get blasted into a nuclear fight. And because of that, what I think a healthier organization would have handled pretty easily in this case became a catastrophe where they lost an incredibly talented person to come work for the city. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to me. And I listen, of course, to you in the morning, and I listen to some of the meetings. And I saw a text exchange between the candidate and Mr. Andrade.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And
after he had withdrawn.
Correct.
Twice.
And it's just hard to imagine that. I mean, here, I always tell people, I say, where in the state of Florida can you find this quaint little riverfront city?
Right.
It's 2 miles from the interstate.
Where good living flows.
It's stuck in 1950.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
what's
so
up
weird.
With that?
Yeah, and he even said, when I was talking to him yesterday for about an hour, he said, God, Milton is a great opportunity. Milton is in a great position to do amazing things. Mm-hmm. The problems that they think of as being big problems really aren't. I can see solutions for all of it. I would love to come there, but I just can't make this decision with my family, and it's such turmoil and uncertainty. It would not be prudent of me as a dad to make this choice.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to step into a position like that, and then it's already on a rocky foundation. It's sad to see that you lose a quality candidate over, you know, essentially foolishness, right? And it seems like the council, decided on letting somebody negotiate the contract, and then perhaps some of the members stepped in the middle of that negotiation process. There was questions over the contract that was sent. And I think, you know, there's some, it could be true that the mayor of Milton originally wrote this almost exact contract in her former role as the attorney for Milton.
Right.
And then questioned the contract that right. she possibly wrote.
For the guy two city managers ago, right?
Right, exactly. So, it's just, it's crazy, and you hate to see it, and hopefully they can kind of get on the right footing and move forward and find somebody that'll be a good fit.
And really, to me, the big takeaway to me is, Milton is going to continue to have these problems if we can't figure out how to work together and get along. You know, you can have drama in the meetings. That's fine. You know, it'd be nice if you could turn it down for one meeting while the candidate comes. Mm-hmm. He was telling me, I was a little surprised by the, you know, the tone of the meeting while they're kind of trying to put their best face forward to appeal to me too, right? And they kind of let some of this stuff happen. And I was like, oh, okay. Right. And he's like, it seemed, and I'm like, sir, on a 1 to Milton scale, that's a 3. Yeah. You know? But still, you know, to me, the big takeaway is that, like, healthy organizations, like healthy relationships, healthy friendships, anything, when problems come, because there's trust and communication, you can handle the problem.
Sure.
Unhealthy, dysfunctional organizations, and that's, again, relationships, workplaces, or in this place, a government, when problems come, everybody's into, you know, hyper chaos mode because that's what they think everybody else is into. And I mean, you know, just it can't really function effectively that way. We've got Ed Carson here in the studio with me, Walker Wilson here with me. We're going to talk about land use and parking. So stay tuned. That's coming up right now. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Highway 90 and 87 still showing a blockage. East and westbound on 90 at 87 is still blocked southbound. If you have traffic tips, text them in at 437-1620. This brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. More info on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. That's KNOX. Knox. Knocks them out. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So, Ed, I know you are, I mean, you're that evil, terrible, horrible word. You're a developer.
Right.
Which means that you've helped people find places to buy clothes and eat food and run a business and live. You know, weird how people need that stuff, right?
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, Santa
Where'd
Rosa.
Did you buy your grocery store?
Yeah. I bought it in a developed, you know, a place somebody right. developed, right? Right. I live in a place that somebody developed, and I work in a place that somebody developed. Anyway, so Santa Rosa is obviously going through a second now revision of land development code in the last couple of years.
Right.
Pensacola, you know, Mayor D.C. Reeves has not yet quite discovered that it's the third rail, but, you know, he may soon. Because they're doing a preliminary overview of the LDC for Pensacola. It hasn't been done in a couple decades. We have ongoing questions like this Molino development that is, you know, Fred Hammer wants to add density and, you know, make for housing to go vertical instead of having to sprawl sideways, which I understand. And it just, like, there's so many things connected to this. Let's start with that one. This density issue to me is fascinating because if people are moving here, and they are, lots of people are moving here, you either put them up vertically or you put them out horizontally. You can't avoid both, right?
Correct. And I think the city is a little different animal because it's essentially built. So density makes a lot of sense there.
Sure.
However, when you get out in the countryside, I completely understand, because I live in the countryside, the argument about not having that kind of density.
Yeah.
Not that it would ever be like an urban area, but I totally get it, especially because I drive down Woodbine every day.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing that I heard the advocates for Jubilee talking about recently that I thought was interesting, and I'd never quite thought about it this way, it made sense to me, is I think most of us want to protect rural land. We want to protect farmland.
Sure.
And toward that end, we want to protect our inclination is to protect the 1 acre per house kind of model, because that's sparse looking, spread out, that feels rural. But that also uses up a lot of land in order to get a house. And if you really rely on that one house per acre model, you're contributing to sprawl and contributing to farmland being converted, not thwarting it. And I don't know the answer, but that doesn't seem like the way forward. Walker, I don't know if you have thoughts about this, but
yeah, you know, and sitting on the Escambia County Planning Board and chairing that meeting with the Molino Project for a good 7 hours a couple of weeks ago, you know, I think
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I didn't know you were. So we are in your wheelhouse.
Right,
I didn't.
Here in it.
Sometimes I schedule people by just divine providence. We get both the experts in house. Go ahead.
And so, you know, I think Mr. Hammer's got, he can go ahead and build a lot on that property that he owns as it sits currently with the regulations he's got in place. And what he was coming to do was ask, I guess, in his mind, be able to plan it out a little better than what he's currently got. It's interesting, you know, when you want to go drop essentially a city in the middle of farmland up there, you know, you're certainly going to get some pushback. And you know, it's hard to wage both sides of this, right? Because I think the city front, it certainly, if we can go up, which I think the mayor wants to look at, you know, can we lift some of these height restrictions we have certainly downtown? You're not going to get as much pushback, but going out, you know, up 29 and trying to go drop a city in the middle of Molino is maybe not the best plan unless you do it right. And I think, you know, the residents even said that. They said, you know, we wouldn't be opposed to one house per acre kind of development, but this townhomes right next to each other with, you know, a city village and needing to put a new school in and a fire department and all this to kind of really and truly create a city in the middle of Molino is maybe a little far stretched.
Yeah, and so what I'm thinking about is sort of in a long-term sense, okay? Mm-hmm. If we're going to put, and I'm making up a number, based on what I heard from Christian Wagley about Santa Rosa County, you know, he's saying 50 or 60,000 people over the next, I forget the time period, but, you know, 20 years, okay. Yeah. So we got to assume that number's about double for Escambia. Mm-hmm. I would figure you're probably talking 100,000 people, okay? 100,000 people are going to come here, and they're going to have to live somewhere. Is it better to have them live in a built-up Pensacola, if you can accommodate that many? It's hard to imagine with a city of 50,000 now. Is it better to accommodate them in, you know, one house per acre kind of lots, which is going to take a lot of land? Or is it better to take a couple of spaces here and there, like what could be a Beulah or what could be a Molino, and say, okay, better than taking away half the county, let's take away these chunks and build them into something with a little bit more density. As an overall planner, that actually appeals to me, mm-hmm. but I get why the people who live in Molino would yell and scream as loud as they could about that.
Yeah, and another consideration that I struggle with is, as an economic developer, we're trying to bring industry and jobs and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, the first question we get asked is, where are my people going to live?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't have a good answer for that right now. So it's a struggle for me to...
Are you seeing potentials go away because of not able to answer that question right now?
Well, one of the big ones is the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't bring missions here.
We can't grow the base, sure.
Put yeah, people in that, you know, without the military here, we're in sad shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, another big problem is with housing prices the way they are is that I don't believe, in my opinion, that we have the inventory that we need to really kind of control what the prices of houses are. And that's why they're so inflated in so many areas around the country, especially here in Pensacola. We're, you know, no stranger to that. And so, you know, I'm in favor, especially, you know, my wheelhouse is a little bit more downtown, but when we see these people proposing developments of new apartment complexes or, you know, new housing developments downtown, I certainly welcome that because I think, again, you need some competition in those markets because mm-hmm. it's been Southtown or bust for so long. And now we've
right.
got, you know, the new development just west of Everman's that's got people living in it. And then we've got the Waverly project going on at Spring of Garden, and then maybe an apartment complex going in at East Garden District as well. So I think a lot more of that is going to help those prices of those rent.
And clearly, we haven't even come close to satisfying that demand, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's billed everywhere you look, and it's been that way for several years. You know, even if you go over to the old school that got demolished on the west side to put up all of those, you know, I'll be honest, I don't like looking at them. They're not pretty townhomes, yeah. but they're full.
They are full.
And they sold for a lot of money. And yeah. everywhere you look, you got infill housing getting built in Pensacola. And, of course, you know, in both counties, you can't drive 5 minutes without seeing a new subdivision planned or in process. And every board meeting, there's 2 to 4 new plats getting approved. It's happening. The question is it happening in a way that is smart for the long-term consequence of all these things working together and providing the retail services? You know, it's this mixture of all of these problems together, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the stats are in Escambia County, but the latest I heard for Santa Rosa was there's a need for about 1,500 units a year, and we can only produce about 1,000. So we're going in reverse.
And then, anyway. And you know, I don't feel like I know enough about the subject yet to feel really comfortable about it, but it's something my wife has kind of been mentioning to me and hearing in other sources that over the last about 10 years, you've really had this development where corporations are buying homes and becoming significant owners of residential property as rentals, which in one sense is not so bad, but if you're competing not just with investors who come here from higher priced areas like New York and California, but now you're also competing with companies that are just buying homes to rent, and then you're competing with Airbnb and VRBO and things that are taking inventory off the market for hotel essentially purposes that historically has not been a company. I mean, those pinch points, those are really causing challenges for the basic expression of the American dream of I'm going to get a good job, start a family, buy or build a home, and then hold on to that for 10 or 20 years, right?
Yeah, we've got over in Santa Rosa County, and I assume in Scambia as well, but one of the national home builders is building a sub, well, they've built some subdivisions that are strictly rental. They hold them, they rent them, and then they flip them.
Yeah. So,
you know, to your point, we can only produce so many lots. They're obviously using a great number of those, so it makes it more difficult.
Yeah, I sometimes think about, like, we built a house with Adams about the year after we first came here, got a great experience, and I look back and I'm like, oh my, thank God. Yeah, you know, because like, I wouldn't want to be a renter in this market, and I wouldn't want to be trying to buy in this market, thank goodness, you know, and so I think about that all the time. You know, we got in before the kind of the boom, and I mean, thank goodness, I can take that for granted, but a lot of people, and all the people who are coming here, making it worse and also having to do it for themselves. 8:55 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
You should have been here before Ivan. That's a boom, man. Taking a look at our roads. The only thing that I'm seeing right now, and it's still showing it, it's blocked. Highway 90 and 87 in Milton, blocked east and westbound on 90, and 87 is blocked southbound. If you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. It's the wrap. We're already almost out of time.
I know.
It's so annoying. Walker, I wanted to talk a little bit with you. Where are we at on Pelican Drop?
Yep, great question. So the mayor and I are meeting next Friday to talk about some other things, but we're going to discuss Pelican Drop as well. I've said kind of from the get-go, I'm willing and DIB's willing to be the point person on this. But it's, you know, can we get enough people around the table to fork up money to make it happen, right?
Always the question. That's why it went away in the first place.
How much does it take? Yeah.
It's like 100?
My guess is probably about 150.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
The last numbers I've got are from 2015, and we spent about $130,000. Okay. So I imagine that it's
not cheaper
probably
today.
A little more, you know, and I've met with PPD and PFD to talk about it, and it's just going to be, you need about 35 officers that day that you've got to pay for overtime. You got to have enough EMTs down there. They have essentially to bring a unit, you know, down there and be stationed and ready to go in the off chance that somebody gets hurt or you know, you certainly don't want anything like what happened to Mobile last year to happen
right.
in downtown Pensacola.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And so we're still kind of working through those conversations. I think I'm with the mayor in the fact that I would love to see this happen. You know, I mean, that's really what kind of gave me the spark of, wow, Pensacola's cool. When I came back from Auburn during Christmas time, and we would all go down to the Pelican Drop in 2008, 2009. Yeah, War Eagle. So
Gators.
Ed Carson is rolling his eyes as loudly as he can.
Gators are going to gate.
We're trying to figure out if it's feasible or not. And, you know, it's a big undertaking. It's not just a gallery night. It's a bigger gallery night with, you know, maybe another 30 to 40,000 people for that event than what you see for a gallery
speaking
night.
Speaking of that, I totally forgot. Gallery night's tonight with the Running of the Bulls.
That's right.
First time they're doing that on a Friday and at night in conjunction with gallery
that's
night, right?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
So nighttime Running of the Bulls. That's
what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. I think Ed's going to be running out of downtown later.
Now, what time is the Running of the Bulls? Is it 6? 5:30?
I think it's 6 o'clock.
Okay, so it'll still be light out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Running of the Bulls at night with, you know, the fluorescent and the glow sticks and, you know, more injuries probably. So more drinking later on in the night. Like any of those things could produce a problem. I can't see it happening at all. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've got a minute. Can you solve parking? No, just kidding.
Yeah, don't park in the red lots. That'll be my only tip to you.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's free parking on Spring Street if you want to walk.
There is. And, you know, that's so funny because you get into a habit of thinking, like, I go to this area, and then that parking goes away, and I have been making this battle for years. But Spring Street on the west side of Palafox, it's lots of open space, free parking. It's just two blocks. It's easy. Nobody wants to walk west, apparently.
No.
or get out of their car and walk east.
Right.
You know? I will tell you that if you're creative, you can always find parking. Even on parade days, you might have to walk a minute to get there, but you can always find parking. And if you want convenience, you pay for it.
Yep.
That's where we are as a city. Ed Carson, Walker Wilson, gentlemen, as always, thank you for joining us today. Excellent stuff. We'll see y'all on Monday.